Well, before I tell you where to go in your Bible, I got to explain something. So me and Shelby were driving to church this evening, and I asked her, I said, what did Pastor preach on? And of course she said, I don't know, I fell asleep. And so, I'm just kidding, she didn't say that. She said, we preached on Isaiah 6, and I was like, so, open your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to be there again. And I thought me and Pastor had that discussion the other day. I guess he said, well, I preach first, I'll preach you first. So anyway, that's all right. Lord knew what he was doing. I'm not going to change my message just because. That happened to me at a fellowship meeting one time. I was preaching out of Revelation chapter 4 on the Laodicean church. And I was following Dr. Willie Weaver. And Brother Weaver got up there, and I was the last speaker, of course. And he got up there, he said, turn to Revelation chapter 4. I was like, uh-oh. Now, it's all right if somebody speaks on something before you that's, you know, maybe like just out of college. But when they've been in the ministry for 70 years, you know, you go, oh, no, this is bad. And I'm going back there, and as soon as I heard he was preaching on the same thing, I'm back there going, Lord, where is my other notes for another message? And I mean, I was looking through, I was trying to listen to him and think, and then God just reminded me, that's all right, just stay the course. And so it doesn't bother me too much nowadays. And so I think maybe somebody needs something out of Isaiah chapter 6 tonight. And maybe it was just me. And so this morning I preached on Isaiah chapter 6. And I told my wife, I said, I have no idea what I'm going to preach at Heritage necessarily. But I feel the Lord's put Isaiah 6. And so really I did a two-part sermon. I only preached the first part this morning. And so you're going to get that tonight. But I want you to look, if you will, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6. And I want to talk about, I know Pastor kind of did this morning, but I want to talk about the wonder of God. Why the wonder of God? The wonder of God. And sometimes we lose focus of Him. And we'll talk about how we do that tonight, but also what happens when we do see Him high and lifted up. And so in the year that King Uzziah died, now I don't know how much Pastor gave you this morning, don't tell me. And I told Joe, I was like, don't tell me no more. That way I don't divert too much. But he was 16 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years. He died later in his life. Now, the Bible says he did that which was right in the sight of God. And he was a good king, except for one thing. He did do good, but he didn't tear down the high places. And the people still worshiped other gods on those high places because he didn't tear them down. The Lord struck him with leprosy. He died of leprosy. And maybe we won't take the Lord serious. By the way, the fear of the Lord is a real thing. And notice what he says. He died, and in that same year, he says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And the reason that he covered his face was because of the glory of God. They couldn't look upon that glory. And as a matter of fact, we'll see that here in a little bit. It said in verse 3 that he was full of glory. Notice that. He says, verse 3, he says, and one cried one to another and said, Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5 says, then said I. Now, this is where we're going to focus tonight. Notice what happens here with Isaiah. He said, because of what just happened, because he says, then. When that moment came, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his train filled. That word train means, it's the same word that they use for the back of the robe of a high priest. When he would go into the most holy place, his train would follow him there in that train. And so that's what it's talking about. But notice what it says. He says, woe is me, for I am undone. Isn't that amazing? Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken off with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Folks, I tell you, the word wonder means to be astonished or to be stunned or to be amazed. Number one in your hymn book is, I stand amazed in the presence. It says that we stand what? Amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. When's the last time you've been amazed at what God has done in your life and in my life and around us? And sometimes we lose the wonder of God. And sometimes when we lose the wonder of God, there's some things that happens in our life. But I want you to notice some things out of the Scripture tonight. I'm going to be short because I'm only 5'8 anyway. So notice what he says in verse 5. And I want to give you just three things tonight about the glory of God, or about the wonder of God, how we wonder at Him. We wonder at Him because of His power. We see that He's all-powerful. He's sitting where? Upon a throne, right? This is the introduction. He's seated upon a throne. He's all-powerful. He's the number one. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. We also see that He's a priest. Why? Because He's, notice where He's at. He's in the temple. That's where Isaiah saw Him. He saw Him in the place of the temple. He saw the train, the robe of a high priest. And then we see the last thing, His pureness. The seraphim said, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Folks, I'll tell you that He is all powerful. He is the priest of me and you, the high priest of me and you. And He's pure and He's holy. And when we stop and we think about that, we should stand in awe at Him. We sing the song, How Great Thou Art, O Lord my God. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Isn't that something? You know, we stand in awe. And I was telling the folks this morning, sometimes we forget to stand in awe of what God has done. You know, and sometimes it takes God bringing us down and knocking our feet out from under us for us to realize the wonder. And I told them this morning, I wonder at my family, a great family that God has given me. I stand amazed at that, but you know what? Greater than that, I stand amazed that God loves me and His love for me and His holiness toward me. I want you to notice some things tonight. If you're saved, I believe if we see God afresh and anew, here's what it causes in our life. Number one, it causes you to see yourself for who you are. Notice what Isaiah said in verse 5. He said, then, because I saw the Lord, he said, what? Woe is me. Isaiah said, whoa, wait a minute. I see who I am now. Who am I? He said, I am a man, what? Undone. That word undone means to be cut off, to cease, to perish, to bring to silence. Isaiah said, well, I see where I'm at. I've been cut off from the Lord. I've been cut off from His presence. But now that I see Him, I see who I am. You know why people don't want to come to church? Why they don't want to read their Bible? It's because they don't want to see who they really are. You know why people want to go to a church that doesn't preach the gospel and doesn't preach? Listen, it ain't just about the gospel. There's churches that don't preach it hard anymore. And listen, I'm not about being mean with the gospel or mean with the Word of God, but you got to preach the whole counsel of God. And you need to get on people's sin, and you need to tell them what's right and what's wrong, because that's scriptural. Listen to me. The reason people aren't darting in the door of these independent fundamental Baptist churches or Bible preaching churches anymore is because they don't want to know who they are. They want to come in and hear some concert and walk out feeling good about themselves and still living and dying and going to hell. I'm glad I'm in a church where, hey, I want preacher to knock me right between my heart. I want the Word of God to be that sharp two-edged sword. Hey, listen, I never knew a sword that felt good going in or coming out. Amen. Now the Bible says it's a two-edged sword, piercing even the divine asunder of the thoughts and tomorrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ooh. In other words, when you hear the Word of God preach, it's going to prick you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to convict you. Why? Because it's a living Word. No Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in our lives. So why? He can take what the Word of God has preached and go, here you go, Wiggins. Here's you, buddy. Quit it. Surgery's never good, is it? How many of you would like to have surgery without any anesthetic? Not me. I remember one time I went to the dentist, and I had this old guy, and he was about ready to retire, and 10 years before I got there, and I went in there, and he said, well, I'll pull two for you. I said, good, let's just get rid of that thing. And it's the cheapest thing to do, so we went in there, and he numbed me up, and he started working on that thing, and he cracked it. He said, and I'm almost to the point of crying because I feel it, I hear it, I smell it. You know how that is? And he looked at me and he said, can you feel that? And I said, no, I'm good. I'm just crying because I love to cry. I wasn't really crying, guys. Listen, it was allergy season that time. And he got in there and he started, you know, he had a pair of pliers from Walmart. And he had his foot on my face. And he's pulling, no, I'm just kidding. But he's pulling it. Man, I'm just about to the point of nauseated now. And he stopped. He said, I know this is hurting you. I said, how do you know that? He says, because you bent my chair. I had my hand on the chair and I was just pulling up on the old handles there. I mean, it was hurting. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy nothing that hurts. None of us say, man, I hope tomorrow I have a root canal. Praise God. I hope tonight whenever I get up to go to the restroom at 2 o'clock in the morning, I stump my toe. I love it. None of us ever ask for those things in life, do we? But listen, the reason we come to church and the reason we want to hear the Word of God and get into the presence of God and hear the singing and hear all these things is so we can enter into His presence and to His courts with thanksgiving and with praise. But it's also so He can talk to us and tell us who we really are. The Word of God is a mirror. It's a glass that we look into and it tells us our faults. It tells us how to fix our faults. See, Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, he said, whoa, is me. A man undone, a man cut off. See, people today, well, I think the Scripture says teachers having itching ears, simply meaning they want to hear what they want to hear. Aren't we at that society today? I think I told you all this, but I can't tell you the name of the lady. But at the end of the service, I preached. I was her pastor. And I was walking out and I saw her. And I saw, she kind of had, I want to fight you look. So I'm praying for, and our church wasn't quite as long as this one. I was walking going, Lord, please don't help her to hit me too hard. That's what I was thinking. You know, should I duck? What should I do here? And boy, she come at me, and my wife can attest to this one. And she laid up me one side down the other. She said, I don't know who told you all about me, but I'm tired of you preaching right at me. And when she said that, I couldn't help it. I said, well, I said, ma'am, I didn't know you was guilty until you just told me you were guilty. Now we're good friends. But, you know, it's amazing how it wasn't me. It was the Word of God tearing her up inside. Listen tonight, when you hear the Word of God and you enter into the presence of a holy God, what do you think you're going to feel like? By the way, if you get up against a holy God and you're unworthy, basically, or unholy because we are still sinners. Now, we're holy because He's holy. I have His righteousness applied to me. But listen, this flesh is nowhere near holy and my mind is nowhere near holy. And I do things and I say things and I think things that are not holy. And when I get against a holy God, hey, if you want to compare yourself to another sinner, you'll feel good all the days of your life. But if you get up against the holy God, and listen, I like hanging around people who are about my size. I don't like to get around people who are fit. Somebody say amen. If you're fit in here, I don't like you. I love you in the Lord, but I really don't care for you. Why? Because, you know, I hang around Donnie's brother, and he's muscle man and Mr. CrossFit and all these things, and it just makes me sick. Poor kid, you know, but he has to watch me eat my cheeseburger. And juice dripping down my chin while he's eating kale. And I just smile all the way. I'll smile all the way to heaven. But listen to me tonight. Is that when we compare ourselves with something that is just like us, what do we have to compare to? I've told this one 100 times, but here not too long ago, my wife had bought me some new white shirts. And I set them on this side and I had my old ones on this side and I was going, those are yellow. Those are white. But you know what? I didn't know that they were yellow because we are made of dust. And it comes off of us. That rhyme. But I didn't know it until I compared it to something that was pure white. You see, tonight when we compare ourselves to a holy God, guess what? We can't help but to see who we truly are. Tonight I'm glad you came to church. This morning you came to Sunday school and you came to morning service. You'll come again Wednesday night. Why? Because if you're like me, I need it. I need to see who Michael Wiggins truly is. You know what? About Tuesday, I start feeling like, man, I got this thing whooped. Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday, I was thinking, man, I got this thing whooped. I come to church and it's like the Word of God just shows me, Michael, you are not what you think you are. That's why people get out of church. And when people get out of church, they can just keep drifting. Why? Because they never see who they truly are. I got to get to the second point. Notice this. Not only will it cause you to see yourself, but it'll cause you to seek forgiveness. Notice what happens here in verse 7. Verse 7 said, "And he laid it upon my mouth." The seraphim came and he took a coal off of that offering, off of the altar. And he laid it. Notice what he says about it. He says, "Thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged." Why does that happen? Because you'll never know that you are a sinner. You'll never know that there's something wrong with you until when? Until you are up against the holy God and you see the wonder of God and you see the majesty and the holiness of God and you see all, He's all powerful and He's all in all. And when you put yourself up against Him, you're going to see that you're not what you think you are. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to fall to your face and say, "God, please forgive me." You know, it's not a natural thing for us to ask for forgiveness. It's a natural thing for us to hide and try to cover it up. You know when that happened? Genesis chapter 3. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because they knew that when they got around His presence, what? What happened when God showed up in the Garden of Eden? It says that they recognized they were what? They were naked. In other words, they recognized that they wasn't what they thought they truly was. They realized that they were a sinner. And God had to make a sacrifice for them and cover them with what He had to cover them with. When you see who you truly are, then you'll see that you are in need of forgiveness. Listen tonight, there's nobody in here that's not in need of forgiveness. There's not a soul in here tonight that says, "God, I need forgiveness for something." But listen, if you don't spend time in the Word of God and you don't spend time in the presence of God, you'll be fine. It's kind of like some of us. You wait till, well, especially like Pastor says, you wait till about three things are wrong with you until you go to the doctor. Right? You know why we hate going to the doctor? Because you're afraid they're going to find something. Don't you hate whenever you have a new car and you take it in to get the oil changed? And they give you a list. You need everything rebuilt. Really? That car drove good there. I mean, it drove fine. But now that you're going home, I do feel that now. You start thinking about everything in that engine that's wrong and that car that's wrong. Why? Because somebody examined it, hopefully truthfully, and they found things wrong with it. See, God examines us and He shows us the things that are wrong, not because He's mad at us, but because He loves us. I don't correct my children because I'm mad at them. I correct my children because I love them. What's wrong with the world today is that parents don't show their kids that they're wrong, and so they're always right. And when they grow up, they're always right and they get more right. And then they look at authority like, "You're going to tell me that I'm wrong now?" Amen. And then when a holy God comes to them and says, "You're a sinner," then they bow up at Him. Why? Because they've never been told that you're wrong. My mama did a good job of telling me I was wrong. Amen. She reminded me when I was wrong. And you know what? When God came to me and showed me that I was wrong, my mom came back into my head and said, "Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm glad we can kneel and ask for forgiveness." Now notice the last thing that happens here. When you see the wonder of God, it causes you to see yourself. It causes you to seek forgiveness. And then the last thing, it causes you to surrender to God. Notice what happens in verse 8. He said, "And also I heard the voice of the Lord." By the way, it's amazing that he saw the Lord first, and then he heard the voice of the Lord secondly. You know, you ought to study the voice of the Lord through the Scripture. There's something amazing about the voice of the Lord. You know what happened when Moses came to the burning bush? He didn't see the Lord. Right? He saw the bush burning, but what did he do? He heard the voice. When he heard the voice, he said, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." And guess what Moses did? He did it because he recognized that voice. When the disciples were out on the ship and Jesus come walking on the waters, guess what? They didn't recognize who he was until when? Until he spoke. something about the voice of the Lord. Notice what happens here. He said, the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? In other words, Isaiah, hey, are you going to go to Judah and tell them that they're in violation of my law? Hey, Isaiah, are you going to go to Jerusalem, to Israel, and show them that they're wrong through the word of God that I'm going to prophesy? Guess what he said? Because what? He saw who he was. He sought forgiveness. He sought forgiveness. Now notice the last thing he said. Then he said, here am I. Send me. You know what happens when you see the Lord and you see His wonder? You'll see who you are. You'll seek forgiveness. And then you'll surrender to Him. Why would you surrender to Him? Because you'll see how holy He is. How loving and gracious He is to us. When you see the Lord high lifted up and you see who He truly is tonight, listen, you'll surrender to Him. You'll fall down at His feet and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? You see why people aren't surrendering today? Well, number one, because they're not here. And even when some people are here, they're not here. Amen. There's some people that wander at God and some people that wander from God. That's true. And when you truly see the wonder of God, hey, listen to me. I told the church this morning, I said, when my wife walked in those back doors when we got married almost 22 years ago, hello. I was like, hello. How you doing? You know what I mean? I'm telling you, I was telling them this morning, all I can remember in my head is somebody, I don't know who told me, but you know how they tell you things right before you get up there. I just heard the statement, don't lock your knees. Don't lock your knees. So I'm up there. I don't know what to do with my knees. So I'm looking like this, and she comes in the door, and I'm going, starting to sweat a little bit, thinking, boy, this is it. And then the thought came to my mind, Wiggins, don't lock your knees. Well, the only thing I knew to do, I watched Elvis growing up. So I began to do this. If you watch the wedding video, you'll probably see it in there. I was like this. I mean, I was like, man, I'm moving these knees. I am not about to pass out at my wedding. And I know people thought I had Tourette's or something. I mean, I don't know what they thought I had, or I was running in place trying to get out of there and I wasn't going nowhere. But I want to tell you what, my wife, when Donya came down that aisle, I'm telling you, I saw the wonder of my wife, the amazement. I stood at awe at her. When she got up there, she could have said, Michael, will you bow at my feet? And I would have said, yes, ma'am. Glad she didn't ask me. But she did ask me to take her hand in marriage and to love her in sickness and in health. And I added one in there, in fatness and in skinniness. You can use that one if you want to, because I'm fat and she's skinny. But until death do us part. You know what? I still stand amazed at my wife. I love her more today than I ever have. And I don't know how she feels about me, but hope is still good. But you know what? It's amazing when you see the wonder of something. Don't ever lose the wonder of your marriage. Don't ever lose the wonder of your church. But greater than all that, don't ever lose the wonder of God. Listen, I know we always preach to young people, but it's all of us. When a young person truly sees who God is, they come and they say, Lord, hear my send me. You say, how do you know that? Because that's what happened to me. Sitting in church one night, preacher was preaching, and I always just kind of felt like I would do something for the Lord, and I didn't know what it was going to be. And I remember we had Evangelist Sam preaching, and it was just like all of a sudden I just saw who God was, and I stood at awe of who He was, and when I saw the Lord high lifted up, not in a visual sense, you know what I'm saying? Just I just saw His holiness and knew the love that He had for me, and I knew that He had saved me and that He had saved me for a reason. I came down to the altar and I just prayed. I said, God, I don't know what you have for me, but Lord, here's my life. Why would I do that if I didn't think He was a holy God? And I did not stand in wonder of Him. Listen tonight, I just want to encourage each and every one of you. See the Lord as Isaiah saw the Lord. And when you do, you're going to stand amazed in His presence. You're going to stand amazed in wonder of Him. And when you do that, you're going to see who you truly are because you're standing in the presence of a holy God. And then you're going to seek forgiveness And then I hope and I pray tonight that you would surrender all to Him. Jesus is not looking for somebody to come and say, look, Lord, I got 50% of me, I'll give you. That's not who the Lord's looking for tonight. You say, I don't know what He'll do with me. I guarantee you this, it won't be bad. Amen. God's not going to send you and do something that's out of His will. If it's going to be His will, He'll take care of you. I promise you that. But God's looking for some people to come to the altar tonight or at your pew, wherever you're at, and just say, Lord, I see You for who You are. And when you look into the Word of God, you see the Son of God. Pastor always says that. When we look into this Word, we see the glory of God and we see the Son of God. And listen, when we read it and when we talk to the Lord, we see Him high and lifted up. When we hear preaching, we see Him afresh and anew. Tonight, some of you just need to come and say, Lord, I surrender. Because I see who You are. Maybe you need to come tonight and get forgiveness. I don't know. All I know about tonight is Michael Wiggins. I want to see the Lord every day of my life where He should be. I'm so tired of this new generation putting Jesus right here. Jesus is not your buddy. He's not your sidekick. He's definitely not your co-pilot. He's high and lifted up. He's up here. You know how you get to God, by the way? You get to God through Jesus Christ, the intercessor. Tonight, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Tonight, if you're saved, you need to get forgiveness. And you need to get, hey, just surrender your life and say, Lord, whatever Thy will is, let it be done in my life. Let's stand tonight. I'll pray and then we'll have a moment of invitation. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You for, Lord, allowing us to see who You truly are. Lord, when I stand in Your presence, Lord, I realize who Michael Wiggins truly is. Lord, there's times I stand not in amazement, but, Lord, in embarrassment. God, tonight I just pray that You'd, Lord, just bring us all to our knees tonight. Lord, I pray that You would just bless this invitation. God, I love You and I thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing